G'day everyone, and welcome back. And today we've got Joss on the show. How you going, Joss?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Cheers for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right. Now, we met a little bit ago, it wouldn't be a year yet, when I was up there seeing Lauren, and I met you, Ram, and Amber, and a few others. Lauren Kurth, when we were doing the Skywatch and that. And it was, like I've said on the show before, it's funny because a lot of people in Queensland have had experiences. They're into this. It's sort of like if you haven't seen something weird and you're in Queensland, you're the odd one out, which is a good change.
Yeah, it is.
Would you mind just telling the viewers and listeners a bit about yourself and then we'll take it from there?
Okay, so I've lived in Queensland my whole life. A few years ago I went through my awakening, as you call it, and I basically took a leap of faith and left the corporate world and started pursuing all of my spiritual work, which was kind of daunting for me, but it just felt like the right thing to do. Since then, a lot of stuff's been happening. And it's been good. It's been really good. It's exciting.
And it would have been a roller, like it's still a roller coaster for you. Like there's ups and downs, and you know, times where things just jump ahead fully in terms of, I don't know. It's almost like the veils, like these sheets of veils, and they're pulled down.
Yeah.
One by one on your journey. How would you mind going into the experiences and how they start, or what happened to awaken you?
Stuff's been happening in my family for a couple of generations, but growing up, I just wanted to fit in. So Mum growing up would talk to me about spirits and angels and guides, and she'd always talk to me about these three little men that would come sit at the end of her bed and teach her stuff. And at the time, I was quite young, so I just thought she was talking about like fairies or her little angels or whatever. And, it was interesting. As I got older, she would always try to keep me open to my spiritual side, but I would always want to go the other way. So I got heavily involved in sports and things like that and just tried to be normal. When I started going through my awakening and I had my first experience as an adult that I can remember, I went to Mum and I told her about it, and she said, "Do you remember all of those years ago when I was talking to you about the three little men?" And I said, yeah, I remember. Little angels that used to come and visit you." And she said, "No, Jocelyn, they were little graves. They used to come to me all the time and teach me." And so that's when I started feeling like I could open up to her and talk to her about things, and I went through this. Like you said, it is a huge roller coaster because there's been so many times when I just want to go, no, I can't do this. I'm just going to go back to, you know, being back over here. But like they say, once you start going down the rabbit hole, there's no turning back.
Even to today, to Soul, I said, you know, sometimes I could just give this all up, but I know it wouldn't happen. But you do get like that. You just go, fuck it. I might as well go back to 9 to 5, forget all this, but you know you can't do that. It's more like an injustice to yourself if you tried to do that, plus it just wouldn't happen. Something would steer you back to all this. Did you ever think your mum was full of crap when she used to say that to you about the three little beings, or you just didn't make much of it?
No, I always knew that there was something else out there. I just wasn't ready to deal with it, if that made any sense. So growing up, I always had to have lights on in the house. I always felt like something was watching me. Mum and I had a huge fascination with the stars, we would go camping and we'd have all the equipment set up to look at the stars, and she'd teach me about the stars and things like that. So I think from that point of view, I've been really lucky to have a mum like that. The stargazing was huge for us. And,
Did you ever see anything when you were doing it, like any flashes or any weird objects come in? And
We saw flashes and things like that. We saw what I thought were satellites in the sky at the time. we went out specifically camping to to view Halley's Comet when that came through. So that was something that I'll always remember. But I think it was when I stepped out of the corporate world and started my awakening, that's when the being started coming to me. And like I was saying, the more I work through my fears and my self-doubt, my self-worth, the more that they're going to be here taking me forward, if that makes any sense.
That does make sense. And I was that stubborn that they'll peering physically to start off with, and they occasionally still do, which is not the norm in terms of, it does happen, but it's more either the astral stuff or sightings or high strangeness. And it was like as if I needed that shake up to go, all right. And then once I started to win, I guess like Mary Rodwell says, we end up all eventually, whether we like it or not, from a earlier perception, we end up embracing it. And it's like you meet them halfway, which is what we did that night and you guys do when we did the CE5 and all that. That's what happens. You meet them halfway and a whole new ball game starts then, because you're beyond wanting to prove this or believe in this. You know this is real and you're wanting to connect. So this is where a whole new ball game starts. When you had your awakening, what started to happen? What was that, like the mechanism to get you to that point where you started embracing later on?
Okay, so I was suffering from a lot of head spins and dizzy spells and really bad headaches. And I started having dreams. And I had a dream where specific events occurred. The next day I woke up and those specific events happened. And it was the end of my full-time job. And it happened the exact same way, the next day. So at the time I was going to Amber's meditation classes and things like that, and she was helping me through a lot of things, working on all the fears and really sort of stepping into me again. And since that day, these sorts of things are reoccurring all the time, but they're getting to the stage now where it's like a daydream in my mind, and then a couple of days later it happens. Or I can sense an event that's going to take place, and then an event like that takes place. So it's, you know, it's been jotting things down so I can remember a lot of dreams happening, a lot of meditations, and that's where I get a lot of my visits.
Well, like I said, the people, they tailor the experiences to the individual, how they can handle it, what I say in the body computer, because some people can't handle it. And I've had very similar stuff. I've noticed where people, I'll be bi-locating on a different level, and I didn't originally know what happened, and I know what you mean by the daydreaming part. I feel like I'm daydreaming and I get the information how you're describing it. Or people ring me up and go, you were just in my house and it's a country away. You know, I'm not in that country. And they'll describe certain things about what I'm wearing and it's what I was, you know, just weird stuff. And there's something about that state where you connect, whether through thought transfer or your higher self, or you hit this plane and all this stuff, all this knowledge is there. Like basically you're having premonitions of what's going on. So you're somehow tapping into that plane. Yeah. And this is how you're being communicated with, because that's how they've got to work with you. So that's interesting, because it's a good point to bring up, which I'm saying now, is everyone's having contact. It's just different for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that's true, because a lot of people will come to me and say, you know, I've had this terrible experience. And I sort of look at them and think, well, that I've had an experience with that ET species. But I didn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. So the very first experience for me is I was doing a psychic development course, and the second week in, I was going to bed one night and my whole body was frozen. And I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything. I could still think, but what I was thinking was, what's going on here? This has never happened to me before. I saw like a shadowy type thing appear in front of me just before it happened, but it was in such a split second. I didn't get a time to even react. And what felt like forever was probably only, you know, a few seconds. But then when I could move again, I was, you know, looking around the room, trying to figure out what had happened, and then I was asleep. So that's happened to me a few times now. But the first time I was a little bit scared. The second time the being appeared to me, which looked like a little grey next to my bed, and then the next minute I was frozen again, but I had no fear. That the second time I had no fear. So I think that's how they introduced it to me, because it, for me, it was all about overcoming those fears.
Yeah.
And knowing that, you know.
When that was playing out, like, if you look back at those experiences now, what comes to mind, or what's the first thing that comes to mind in terms of what you think those experiences were about, what they were doing?
I think that was like an introduction. It was like, we're here, we're working with you, you need to overcome your fears so we can teach you. Because since those few times, when they're coming to me, they're teaching me specific things. And I've noticed that my healings in my healing room here have changed.
And they work with you when you're doing that?
Yeah. And they're working, it's like they're working through me. I'm almost stepping back now. And the way I was taught to heal was I'm the one doing the healing. I might be channeling the energy, but I'm still doing stuff. But now it's completely different. And the awareness, the psychic awareness and things like that, that's all increased, like at a fast rate too. So, yeah, it's for me, it's sometimes I just want to step back, like you said, and go, I'm not sure, you know, maybe I just need to go back to the normal 9 to 5 or just be normal. But every time I've decided to do that, something's happened and it's catapulted me forward almost. It's like, yeah.
Well, that's what people have said to me when I've said that. They said, you know, shit's going to get 10 times more full on for you now. And I'm just like, I don't know if I can handle anymore. But you're right, something happens to catapult it forward, and that's how these things work. And it's funny you say that with the healing, like with myself when I do the guide sessions, one of the things I do is bring in people's guides and whether they need healing or to find out about part of themselves and to rebuild a connection back. You know, it's reconnecting. We've all had these beings and guides we work with, but it's all working the dialogue where I connect with their guides through my guides and sort of get like this four-way conversation going.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how with healing, different types of healing is done. Sometimes it will be you directly doing it. Sometimes something will be working through you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll be tapped to their higher self or their guides to filter into them because they're just so stubborn or there really needs to be a bit of work done in order to get stuff done. So like, what is it, the type of healing you do? That you, can you tell the viewers and listeners that? What specifically the types of healing you do? What work you do?
Okay. I started off with Theta healing. I did Theta healing courses, and I found that when I was working on someone, I could feel the pain. I knew why the pain was there and what they needed to do to fix the pain. So whether it was physical pain, emotional pain, or whatever. So I started doing Theta healing, and then I moved into a healing modality that uses essential oils. Mm-hmm. And then from there, when my experiences really kicked in, I found I was just working intuitively. So I sort of stepped back from everything and just took on a different type of healing. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's like you're working, like you said, with their higher self or their guides. And it's all energy. I guess you can explain it.
I understand that. I talked to Rodwell about this because through my awakening, she's been a very pivotal point in helping for myself. And I was saying to her, look, I don't know how I do what I do, but it works. And she goes, Pete, if you do what you do and you don't know how you do it and it works, you're doing it right. And that's where, because there's no manual. I had these Syrian cat beings, and I was doing Reiki and different types of healing, and I call it energy work now. And these beings rocked up in the middle of the day, and they were showing me basically, they were healing me because I was having sort of archonic stuff, and they said you had to go through this because you've got to be able to fight these battles, but you were that beaten up basically that we've agreed for, you know, we agreed on this happening this day. And they were pulling out my energy bands, like basically my aura, and they were tuning it like guitar strings almost. I don't know how to describe it, but they were playing with them. And then I started to do this, and it seems to work, and it was like as if it was a reawakening of my memory of I know how to do this. And that's where I got no reference for how I do that, but it works. So I understand on a level where you're doing what you do now and it works, and it's not there's no sort of manual for it. It's sort of also a case-by-case basis with your clients.
Yeah.
And then you're getting all this psychic crap on them going, all right, this is... And they're wondering, how do you know that? And you sort of got to be careful how you explain stuff, because it's a lot of it's got to do with emotional baggage or stuff going on another level, and it's manifesting into the physical or sometimes past life stuff. So I understand what you're saying in terms of that, and which is good for the listeners and viewers to hear, because some people might not be aware of this. I wasn't for a long time. It's you know, all different facets come into it with the psychic stuff and then the energy and that type of thing. So this is what you're doing today, this type of energy, like healing, whatever it is?
Yeah, I do the healings, and I've noticed that the clients are feeling a lot better. They have like these transformations where what may have been holding them back doesn't hold them back any longer. So, and that's really good. I've had contact with mentored beings where they've come in and taught me stuff. And to me, they're the main beings that I have communication with. I think that it's hard to describe without analysing it. So when the mentored being turns up, it's like I have an instant knowing of things that I didn't know before. So, and when I try to explain this to people, they're like, well, what do you mean? Obviously, they have to speak to you or they need to communicate with you somehow. And I said, I don't think so. He turns up, I see him, he's in front of me. I know why he's there. I know what we're going to be doing. I know what he's teaching me, and I know that I'm okay. And when he's with me, I feel nothing but love. And it's like that familiar, you know, when you grow up, you always feel out of place and you don't know where you belong.
I know. I've lived what you're talking about. And it's funny you say what you've just said, because in all of my books, I've talked about how I know stuff and I don't know how I know it, and I know it to be true, and there's no reason for me to know this.
Mm.
And this is what happens through like a thought transfer quality, or it's like there's all this knowledge you got access to, and it's like as if the door in your mind to block that out is unlocked by these beings, and all this information that you already know on another level just filters through. And there's no other way to explain it. That's the best I can explain it, and I know exactly what you're saying, and people just don't get it. I've had experiences where, like with Shiji, when she first rocked up, I would see and I'd get this voice in my head, but then it goes to thought transfer, and to try and explain to people that it's not what they think. It's just, which is where disclosure and everything else, you know, we really need a high level of consciousness to deal with what's going on, because it's not 3D communication as people perceive it.
Mm. Yeah, I think everybody, like I've never been big on labeling or, you know, I am this or I am that. And I think on our level, we need to label everyone and everything. So it's in a chronological order. So
it's linear.
Accept it. For me, I've never understood why we need to do that. So when they come to me and they teach me stuff, they might sort of teach me bringing my psychic abilities through a lot more. So, but I don't feel comfortable saying I am psychic or I am this, I am that. I'm just me, and I'm just growing and learning and enjoying stepping back to who I really am, I guess.
I understand that. And with the growing up part, feeling out of place, I 100% get that. Like, until I got to high school, that's when I was sort of starting to be accepted, because I was sort of, I guess you could say, becoming the bad boy. It's like, I don't know what to do. Nobody likes me. I was the boy that nobody wanted to play soccer with at school and that sort of thing. And I was a bit chubby. So I was getting called names and that. And then high school, that all changed. And even up until my 20s, when I was rapping, I wanted acceptance from people. It's like I wanted acceptance from outside myself, just so I could fit in here. Because I just looking at everyone going, this is so, like, alien to me, but not in that sense. It was like, this is screwed up, and the violence and the way people treat each other and the bitching they do behind each other's back, and you end up taking that on to fit in.
Yeah.
And then you got to deprogram that out of you once you awaken, because you're like, this is, I was programming myself to be accepted, when the only acceptance I need was from within. So it's funny, because what you bring up is a lot of qualities that start, you know, we say star seeds have, though everyone's really a star seed, but it's how you get through it. And it's something that a lot of people don't talk about. You know, 9 times out of 10, if you talk to experiences, or, you know, I'll say 10 times out of 10, they're saying what you're saying in terms of they just didn't fit in.
Yeah.
And these are just qualities that we have in us, because, you know, we're really not attuned to here. We're trying to bring higher energies in, but we're like, What the hell is going on here? What other types of beings have you interacted with? Obviously, we see fives doing that, which you do with your friends and that up there, which some have had on the show. There's many different types of beings we come across, but personally, what sort of beings, some of the contact you've had, is there other races besides the mantids and the greys you've interacted with?
Yeah, I've had a few different experiences. The mantid being, more recently, when he came to me, he stepped into my aura. Or I can explain it like this. He stepped into my aura. When I looked down at myself, I was a mantid being. I looked back at him, and he was giving me the knowledge. And then I looked back down, and I was like, To bring into a form, it's very see-through. It's kind of whitish, tall, and it felt very angelic to me. And I was like, how can I be two forms? I don't quite understand. And he was showing me that these are part of me. So that was an experience, because I've had this, it's very tall, angelic. They have, they use a lot of energy to come down to show us physical form.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It takes them a lot of energy, and they're waiting, so to speak, for me to step up to them so they can communicate with me more often. When I feel them around me, I feel nothing but, not even the love on this planet can describe it. It's like a love that you've never, ever felt before, and it feels like the ultimate experience of feeling home, if that makes any sense.
Oh, I usually explain it as, it's like I've had 100 billion ecstasy tablets. It's the only way I can describe it, because it is unconditional love on a level like you cannot. Not even like a love for a family member or a partner. It's like every molecule or atom of your body is just blissed out, the energy, the bubbling, and just the euphoric love sensation. And it's connecting with home. Like, I've connected with Source, which is what I do a fair bit. And there it's like that, but times 10 again, because it's the next level. But just with the beings, I get that with a lot of the beings I interact with. So that feeling, I know exactly what you're saying. And it's slightly like the Andromedans will have a really hardcore energy for me than the Sirians. The Sirians are really hardcore energy. The Elohim is more like a nice ecstasy feeling, and then the Pleiadians are a little bit low but giddy. So I get like a giddy, you know, playful, loving. Yeah. But it's funny you mention that about the energy too, how it takes a lot of energy for them to come down. Originally when Shiji was appearing physically, she was using my energy to compensate for her energy coming down, and then I would be drained and sleep like 12 hours after the contact. And then I realised later this was to help attune me to get used to her, and now she appears here almost like that if I wanted to. I still see the crafts and other things like that, but it was to get a connection going where she has to wake me up, then it will go more to an astral level and a psychic level because it's too much wear and tear on her, and they've had to use it for me, you know, use my energy. So then you get this dialogue where you're meeting them halfway, which is what you've got going on. And that's where you know things you don't know even more, and yeah. all the high strangeness activity comes into it.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting with what you're talking about as well, and I guess you do, is when this man was showing you different things, it was all like different facets of you, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because at first I said, what's happening here? You know, because I'm either human, and like we have children here where there's more than one nationality involved. Obviously, he was showing me that you don't have to come from one specific place. Whereas my thought pattern and belief up until then was that. So he was showing me in my true form. And, when I go on these, I call them journeys, it's really hard for me to come back. I want to stay. So it's hard for me to come back. And then when I do come back, I'm really emotional for a little bit because I'm obviously integrating new things. I've learned a lot, and I've seen either some people would call it potential, or some people would call it, you know, who they really are. Mm-hmm. And, It's exciting, but at the same time, I'm learning a lot, and I feel like I'm learning it very fast. So it's like I'm almost catching up for lost time.
Well, that's what's happening with a lot of us. And the latest book that I wrote, or that was written through me, explained a lot of this, how more than ever, all those that have been, it's like as if there's been that many beings laying here that are here to help have been laying dormant. Now they're turned on, and all of a sudden, with exponential speed, we're all doing what we're doing at a high rate more than ever. So I can totally understand that point. And also, when you come back, I've had troubles dealing with this reality when coming back. Even like sometimes when I meditate, or somebody would ring or ring the doorbell and I'll get up to meditate, I'd fall over because I'm trying to get back in my body and I'm like, I can't move my fingers, my hands. But there was one video people can see, my latest regression with Lee Kerr, and the beings were taking turns jumping in my body, and I was literally in another dimension looking at my body, and it was like I was at a party. And what happened was when they end the regression and I came back in the body, I came back with that much force that I was in tears, and I felt like the only way I could explain it was like as if I was a baby being born going, shit, this place is dense. What the hell is this? And, you know, fingers, and it was – and I bawled my eyes out because it was so hard to come back from the state of interacting with – and there was different beings there. But then you come back here and you've got to deal with this reality, which is it's hard, you know. It's not an easy thing. That time was the hardest I've ever had. Usually it's a lot easier than that. But there's all these different components, just like how you're saying too about learning about the other facets of yourself. I was like that in the beginning, thinking, oh, I must have been this, because I wasn't getting answers at the time. And then when I found out that I've been many different of these beings and races I interact with, I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
Because you talk to people and they go, I want to know where I'm from. And I'm like, when I do the guide sessions, I'm like, we can get some of that. But do you realise you're from Source, and Source is all that is? And when you leave Source, you haven't just had one past life. You've had you know, literally billions from what I've been shown of different life forms, not just extraterrestrial type races, but this is where you go, geez, you know, it's a lot more out there than what people think in terms of experiences. How do you deal with the unraveling of all this for yourself? How do you see it as a blessing and a joyful thing where every day you're learning something new?
Yeah, I do actually. And even when it's hard and I'm really emotional, I still know that I'm so blessed to be doing what I'm doing and to step out of what I grew up to think I needed to be to really who I want to be and who I really truly am. So that's a huge blessing.
Yeah. Where's things leading for you now? Like, where has it all led you in terms of would you mind going into some of the group contact that you've had when you've done that sort of thing?
Okay, so we've got a few groups up here. Amber's got a group on the Gold Coast and we do night watch. I've been to Lauren and Kay's night watches and I think that's where I first saw Lauren's, it was, up Melanie, when we saw those beings.
Was that the night when I was there with you? Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know, this is all, if I had any doubts, there's no doubts any further, you know. They were right there in front of us.
Yeah.
That was, to me, that was amazing.
And even those that weren't seeing it, they knew they were there because the energy and everything that was going on was mental.
Yeah, and I was literally buzzing and so excited. But the energy, because up until that point, I've more felt, sensed and known things. But now I'm able to see things as well. So that was the first time that I'd actually seen the beings in a group setting. So that was really good. That night was amazing.
They were the geometric sort of rainbow lotus beings that, and they were communicating on that device that I think Kay's group had there, like the I think it was some type of radar device. Remember, I was talking; it was answering back.
Yeah.
Through that, but that to me was still one of the best experiences I've had like that in a group setting, because there was 20 something of us, and the activity was through the roof, and we were all getting blissed out, we're all having contact, and it was on a group setting. So I can understand if that changed any of your doubts on that level. What other sky watches have you done since then where it's been around that, where you've had the lights in the sky, you've had the beings interact? Because Queensland's the place for it.
Queensland's, normally when there's energy shifts, you can really feel it. Like we were saying, I think it was just yesterday, that, you know, you can feel stuff happening now, and a lot of people have been quite emotional recently. But we've done a few night watches. I think when the weather calms down a little bit, we're going to go and do another night watch on the Gold Coast.
Yep.
So normally I go to Kay and Lauren's night watches whenever I can, and Amber's night watch group. So that, yeah, there's always stuff happening. Or we even just, the kids and I just go and lie out on the grass and we just, you know, look up at the sky and, you know, we can see stuff here. So always sort of trying to keep stuff happening and keep it going.
It happens on whatever level. Like, it was funny, I just put up my recent book a couple of nights ago. I think it was at the start of this week, actually. And me and Sol just go out the back and put the banana lounges down we just got from Bunnings, these cheap $25 seats. I'm like, this is going to be awesome because I haven't skywatched like that yet. And, you know, within 5 minutes, we've had Shiji's craft come over these, like, it would have been probably 40 metres up, that low, and then just blink out, and we're just like, it happens. And we're in a city just like, you're in the Gold Coast, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you just see stuff all the time.
It happens pretty much every time you go outside. I mean, you can see stuff or sense stuff. The night watches are really good because, you know, obviously the more people we can get together and do the night watches, the more energy there is. And makes it more exciting.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to getting into that this year. That'll be good.
With the experience, we'll go back to that at the moment for yourself personally. Where has this changed and shaped you for today in terms of, like, things are ever evolving when you're having these types of experiences, and I'll be the first to admit that. Like, the person I was yesterday is not the man I am today. Just every day we're evolving in whatever format. But how have you been able to deal with this, and where is it today in terms of where are you at now? Like, has it unraveled other things for you in terms of, have you gone into areas of research or in life that you thought you'd never go down, whether it's like, you know, better eating or, you know, the environment and think, you know, little things like that? Because it seems for me, with a lot of people I talk to, it's like almost every area you dabble in because there's a connection to every area.
Yeah, definitely food has been massive in this house. We've completely changed the way we eat. I don't know whether it was through me just changing the vibration that I'm sitting at, but now there's definitely a lot of foods that I just can't eat. And the kids as well. They, you know, our whole house has changed. So we're a lot more conscious of what we're eating and where it comes from. We're conscious about the earth. We're conscious about the other life forms on this earth and, you know, the role that they all play and how we all link in together. Exercise, you know, keeping healthy, all these things that keep you clear and sitting at a vibration that is, you know, of a higher level, so you can keep developing and just conscious of who you are and what your role here is, you know, being responsible for the earth and looking after it and not just looking after it, but, you know, really looking after it and standing up when you see things that aren't right, you know. Food for us has been such a big change that we're all completely different, our behaviours, our energy, everything, and it's been such a huge positive change that, you know, the kids really love getting up now and having the foods that we have. And at first it was a little bit of a transition for them, but now they really, you know, they can see the benefits of it all, so they're embracing it just as much as I am.
It's just trial and error finding what everyone likes as well.
Yeah.
Like, if we've got shitloads of fruit in the house, I'm right. I love my green smoothies. I have that sort of thing. And if there's carrots, I could blend that with oranges and I would have no problem just sculling that stuff down, you know what I mean? And we're growing, like, we've got a veggie patch going here now and growing wheatgrass in the house as well. And but it's a trial and error. Me and Sol went out, I think it was called the Veggie Bar here in Melbourne, and we had these tacos. They were raw food tacos, and they were 100 times better than normal tacos. To me, I just ate it. I can't believe this is raw. Like,
yeah.
So it's just trial and error going around, I guess, trying different things and different recipes. And
yeah.
Because people want to do all this type of thing, and it's fair enough, but then they go, I can't stick with it because it's yuck. But you got to find what works. Well, and you do find the benefits. Yeah. Even when I was living up in Queensland at Joel's, in the middle of winter, I'm picking tomatoes because you can do that there.
Yeah.
And eating a tomato straight that's organic and fresh, you can't get anything like that at the supermarket, and the health benefits from it either.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've got the whole backyard that we're changing into a veggie patch. So the kids are going to be down there doing all of that. I think it's education and awareness, and once you see the benefits of change, then it doesn't become hard at all. It's easier and you embrace it.
That's one of the many things that unfurl, but from having experiences is the, like you were saying, the connection to the earth and, you know, changing your food and taking self-responsibility and these types of things. With the experiences, what's some of the – because obviously this is like a mechanism that happens. There's a thing that changes when you're having experiences, and this is what comes with it. We're always aware of it from when we're young people like yourself and me, but it's like when you get older, you learn to walk in your own power, and you're having experiences, this is where it comes into fruition of doing these things. What's some of the messages that you're getting, or even things that you know that you don't know how you know, in terms of what we're going through at the moment and where energies are at? I know, you know, I was talking to one of your friends the other day, I won't say who, and they were talking about the energies at the moment up there. You know, a lot of sort of 2014 baggage is still being cleaned up, even though we're going into a new area. And I friggin' agree 100%, and this is what I've been talking about for a while, and it's not a, you know, a smooth transition, but what's some of the things that you can probably add or go on to with that sort of thing?
Okay, so this year, coming into 2015, before 2014 finished, I did a lot of work on getting rid of that baggage, and it was really about going deep within and having an honest look at yourself and seeing what you want to change and putting the steps into place to make those changes. So it was, like, I call year 2014 the year of the personal purge, because it was like
that's
that.
A good
People look at me like, you know, what do you mean purge? And it was about getting up and out all of the stuff that no longer serves you for your highest good, so you can make these changes. Because at the moment, when you're down here and you want to get up to here, you're not going to do that unless you work within yourself. Because everyone, you know, I want to go to this course and do this workshop, but they walk away and they haven't put any of that into place. So it's about going within yourself and knowing everything you need is within you, and really bringing all of that dense, lower level stuff you want to work on, especially like on all four levels, bringing it up and out, so then you can bring in the new and you can really work on yourself and create the transformations that you want to see. So yeah, moving into from 2014 to 2015, we did a lot of that work. We started out all of our goals around November last year, because we wanted to bring that energy in. So as we moved into 2015, we were already in that forward motion. So it was all about the health and the fitness and, you know, your daily rituals that you do to help you connect and really connect back to who you are. Because if you don't connect and ground it here within yourself, there's no point, you know, it needs to be brought down and anchored into you.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the real change happens for me. So, yeah, we got all that in motion and felt really good. But this year, it's all about putting things into action. So now when I say, oh, I really should be doing this, I stop myself straight away and I say, right, let's do it. Because this year is the year that you can really put your manifesting into fruition, so to speak, you know. And like, a lot of people get caught up with, I need to do this and I need to do that. You just need to do step by step. Don't worry about what happens in 2 months' time. Do what you need to do now so you get to that place in 2 months' time. So, yeah, putting things into action, really stepping up and being responsible for who you are and who you want to be. No outside influences. You know, I can't blame anyone or anything else in my life. I'm responsible for me and who I am and how I develop and grow. So, yeah, putting all that into action.
That's very important, and it's funny because Sol does her weekly readings and messages, Sirian star messages, and the one for the new year was basically what you're saying, which is this is the year to manifest stuff. Like, last year was, you know, cleaning up the old energies and everything else, and now we're going to, you know, like you said, it's no, I want to do this, it's just do it.
Do it.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's a very important point. The only thing I can add on to that, and I've said to her too, it's like as if the energies as a collective are changing, in terms of course, where we are in galactic plane and what's going on, yes, energies are changing, but everyone's all about, oh, we should be doing this or we should be doing that, but what people need to realise is first you need to work on yourself.
Yeah.
So that really was, for those who are already awake, and 2014 was the year that you cleaned up your own baggage. Like you said, it was personal, you know, purging. It was getting rid of it. And I can tell anyone, like, it was intense for me because I got a lot of baggage to clean up. Jeez, I had a lot of stuff going on for many years. And now we're going from that, and that's still going on a little bit, but we're going in the manifesting, but also now it's like as if we're going on a purging spree as a collective.
Yeah.
Like, because now a lot of people have dealt with their own stuff. Now it's time for us to do it as one. So yeah. This is where everything's going to continue to unravel. I'm glad I'm not watching the news these days, because when I do see something on Facebook or I'm emailed, I'm just like, I'm glad I'm not watching the news. And this is where people got to start getting their own information, I guess. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely agree with that, because the first thing, a lot of my background was research when I was in the business arena. Stepping into, since I've awakened and into my spirituality, I've really been not interested in, you know, reading hundreds of books or doing a lot of research on the internet. It's all been, for me, going within and learning it for myself. So when I have, even when I have my experiences, I try to learn what I need to learn for myself. I have done a little bit of research on the internet. Mary's book is the first book that I've read in years, and you know, it's given me so much confirmation and it's helped me so much, but it's all about experiencing it for myself. So, you know, I'm not influenced from the outside and I can really do the growth myself. So that's been huge. And yeah, like you said, now that your awareness, you've done all the work on yourself and your awareness is heightened, you bring your awareness to us as a collective, and then you're more aware of what the changes need to happen as a whole, which is a whole new ball game.
It is. It is. And that's where, you know, so much more stuff comes up. It's like this shift that's going on is way more complicated than I ever thought. I used to think it was just for humanity too, and it's been revealed it's for like all planes and dimensions. It's going on for everyone, but it seems to be anchored here, the change that needs to happen, because it's dragging the rest behind, which has caused other things to happen in other realms and other places. So this is where I think we're going to see a lot of old programming going out the window. And the way I see it is that everything's an illusion, but it's a program, and we can rechange the program for what program we want. Even if it's a positive experience, that's still a program. So now it's like, choose the program. What program do you want? Because if you know this, you can manipulate it for yourself to have the program that you want. So if you've got enough people wanting a oneness program, we can manifest that now, because the energies are right to do so. But it does point out a lot of things of what we need to do as a collective, and there's sure as hell enough to, you know, a lot that's got to happen. I was saying the other day to someone, I think we actually need a new world order, but not the new world order that everyone talks about. We need a new world order of oneness.
Yeah.
Because either way, people are going, oh, we don't need a new world order, but it's like, hey, hang on, you're talking about oneness. That's actually a one world.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. But do you want one in the service or self-service mode?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It is all about the oneness. If you look back to Source, we are all one anyway, and it's about us awakening and remembering that. It's a pretty powerful thing if we can all awaken and remember who we really are and come back to that oneness.
That's what keeps on being said to me too lately, is remember who you are. And that's one thing to do that is to analyze that, to think about that, to meditate on that, I'd say, because from there you can connect with who you really are, why you're here, what you're doing.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, just imagine if we all did awaken to who we really are, and I think come back to that oneness. But I know it's happening gradually for a reason, and every person that awakens to who they are sends out a ripple effect, and then they help awaken others around them, and then they send out a ripple effect. And I think it's happening in that way, in that manner, so as we can handle it, you know, because a lot of people don't like change. So if the change is subtle and it happens at the rate that it's happening, even though it is speeding up and it's going to get a lot faster, it's like this is the way it's meant to be, obviously, you know, coming back to who you really are.
And you were mentioning before Mary Rodwell's book. I just want to give that a plug too. It's My Awakening, isn't it? Awakening, I think it's called.
Yeah, I've got it right here.
Yeah.
Take it everywhere I go.
Do you want to just show the cover for people so they can see it? There we go. It's Awakening. My first two books were My Awakening. I get that mixed up with Mary's, and I didn't know Mary had that book at the time. But it's funny because no matter how awakened and experienced the things they are, I read that book and I was like, shit, I've had that happen, I've had that happen, I've had that happen. I'm just like, how didn't I pick up on these things? It's one of those things, and you'd probably agree with this, is that when you're in the thick of your experiences in your life, sometimes you need an outside perspective or to read something like that to go, shit, I wouldn't have picked up on this otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Her book and the weekend that we went up and listened to all her talks, I originally went to help benefit my children. My children have had... Two of them have had experiences as well. And so I thought it'd be good for me to go and learn how I can guide them. Confirmation after confirmation all weekend. It was amazing. And it was, you know, those moments when you go, I am who I am for a reason. It was like that all weekend, just confirmation after confirmation. Oh, that's why I had that experience. Oh, that's why when I go to sleep, sometimes I'm out before I even realize why I'm going to sleep. And then, you know, you have the experiences where you wake up in the middle of the night and you try to stay awake, but you're out, and then you're up, and then you're out, you know. It explains it all in this book. So for me it was awesome.
I think it's important for people to watch a few conferences Mary's done to even, you know, to get the book even, because I've learned a lot about myself and it's helped me walk in my own power, because what it is you really know all this stuff, but it's like you said, confirmation after confirmation.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like we're stubborn for a while until we sort of accept it through, I think, 3D confirmation that we need to, you know, be able to walk in our own power by then. She actually has another book she's writing right now too, which is about the kids. So, which... You know, I've talked to Mary a lot about this, and I think the kids are actually our teachers. We're sort of the minders for them at the moment.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like I'm doing half of this and learning half of this to guide and help the kids that are coming up now. So, it's really interesting. Once you get comfortable with who you are and where you're at, like now I'm starting to do the research. I know you've got some books coming out, Mary's books, and as I'm reading them and learning, I feel like I'm finding myself as well. So it has been huge confirmation. You know, you have those aha moments like, oh, that's why I experienced that. That's why they came to me. And, you know, it puts everything, I guess, because where we're at, we like to make sense of things to a certain extent. So it makes sense of things, so you can learn and grow from it, which is, I guess, important.
Well, it is, because it's reconnecting with the other parts of us while we're here. Like, everyone's willing to, you know, you get these people that awaken, yet they judge others, and I've been guilty for that. You know, we all do it, and it's like, hey, you don't like being judged, but yet you're doing that to someone else. So This is where you've got to try and bring other energies in, but at the same time, like I've said before, it's important to keep as grounded as you can, because the reason we're connected and having these interactions is to manifest that reality here rather than being cloud nine all the time. You know, it's like, oh, I want to be with spirit all the time. Well, it's like, well, you're having these spiritual reasons for a reason, which is to bring it and anchor it here.
Yeah.
So it's, again, having the balance of having a foot in each world to do your work properly. Has that been the case for you, and how hard has that been? Like, obviously that has been the case for you with the 9-to-5, losing that. How hard is it now being anchored in both worlds, doing what you're doing?
You know, growing up, I was always told that I needed to focus on what I'm doing now and to stop daydreaming. And, you know, people would often say to me, where did you just go? Because I'm here in front of you, but wherever you are, your mind's somewhere else. And I was always told I need to bring my awareness back to where I am now. And, you know, one of my children is like that as well. And it wasn't until I got older that one of my friends who's quite spiritual said to me, Jocelyn, you really need to ground yourself. And I said, well, what's that? And she said, you really need to ground yourself so you can anchor in what you've got and share it with others. And at the time, I was sort of a little bit offended because I thought that it meant that I'd lose my connection. And what I learned through grounding is that it increases it. And it helps you develop and grow because you're actually putting it to use in this realm instead of just being, you know, up here. So since I've done that, obviously a lot of stuff's changed and I'm able to help a lot of other people a lot more easily than what I used to do when I wasn't grounded. So, yeah, anchoring is huge. It's really important.
And you seem to get more done when you like that here. That's what I've noticed. Like I just went and spent a week out bush with Sol and the kids near my mum's cabin at Mount Buffalo and got away from all this. And then as soon as like I get back, I've like tripled my workload. And I didn't even think that was possible. But just a week of, you know, swimming in the water, which is really good this time of year, cleans the aura, it gets you grounded. Like, we're doing that in the River Rocks as well, so we're getting grounded and cleaning our aura at the same time, changing our body clock back to nature, you know, being out in nature and these sort of things and, you know, just talking to people, just the average Joe, because when you're camping, you know, you talk to anyone or everyone that you come into interaction with and it sort of just it's like a reset button for the times and... It is important, and, you know, I'm just as guilty as many people being away in Cloud Nine half of the time trying to still work here, but it's good to see that you've had that too, and what you've said is that's of benefit to many out there who are experiencing something, you know, be grounded, you know, go and do that if you're a bit too far away, because how you're describing that daydreaming state and that your consciousness is basically elsewhere though you're here, that happens to us all a lot, doesn't it?
A lot of the time, that's where I do a lot of my learning and growth, but bringing it back and anchoring it into the now is really important. And, you know, I do grounding exercises every day because if I don't, I walk into walls and
I'll do the same thing, yeah.
People look at me like, how did you just walked into a... The door's wide enough. How did you knock yourself into the door? I'm like, must be my eyesight or something, you know. But it's because I'm not grounded. So, and when little things like that happen, I know I need to go and ground myself. It's a little bit embarrassing sometimes, but it's just part of who I am.
Yeah, we do that a fair bit around here, and it's like, all right, time to take it back. Or sometimes, you would notice this too, if you've been taken that night or you've been elsewhere, trying to operate this body computer the next day up until like lunchtime, you're like, what the hell? It's like you can't hold stuff, you can't think. It's almost like a hangover without the feeling crap part. You're just trying to operate. You feel unco.
Yeah, I can go and to try and pick up a pen and I can pick it up on the third time, you know. And I always thought it was just me, but now that you've confirmed that with me, I feel a little bit more normal.
Yeah, don't worry about that, doll. I'm probably the most unco person some days. So, we'll wrap it up there. There's going to be a link to your Facebook page and you're located in the Gold Coast. So there's a live page there I'll have a link to at the bottom of this video or wherever people have downloaded this audio version of the show at my website, petermaxwellslattery.com. But Joss, thanks heaps for coming on the show, and it's good to catch up again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And we'll talk again soon. I'll have you back on sometime in the future too. We'll let things go for a bit and just see where things unfurl for you.
See where I'm taken.
Yeah, see where you're taken. That's it, doll. All right, thanks again for being on the show.
All right, see you.
Bye.